Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to part three of our AI Prophecies Come to Fruition, coming up next right here on The Parker J. Cole Show. Hi, and welcome back to the Parker J. Cole Show, where we are continuing our series about artificial general intelligence. But in particular, we're talking today about the AI prophecies that are coming to fruition that we've already talked about on the show. And I wanted to definitely bring these all together to let you know that we're not just making up this information, that this information is very much available to you. And you can see if we're just drinking the Kool-Aid, if we're saying, or if what we're saying is true. And with me again is our wonderful guest co-host and contributor, R.D. Palmer. As you know, he is an author, but he also has special insight into this because his background is based in technology. And so what we've done, we've created a three-part series just on the artificial intelligence prophecies that we've already predicted on the show, or that RD has predicted in his book called The One. And so these prophecies are available to you to look up, like I said just a moment ago, but we want to give you that information so you can have what you need to ensure that we are not crippled by our own brilliance through artificial intelligence. And RD, once again, thank you so much for being with me on the show. It's always great to have you. And so I'm really looking forward to continuing our discussion about the AI prophecies that come to fruition. But what I want to do really quickly is do a quick recap on why this subject is important for our new listeners who may be tuning in today.
Sure. That's a good place to start. The recap, the reason for this is because of the fact that technology is moving fast. I think everybody, probably close to 100% of the people, will agree that technology is moving faster than it ever has in history before. And the reason for that certainly is because of the fact that we've got more researchers, more scientists that are working on developing things. So specifically off over in the artificial intelligence world, many people are kind of feeling it, but they don't know the specifics. And the reason why they don't know the specifics is very valid. It's because of the fact that they don't work in the software industry. The reality of it is that we have thousands of people around the world that are working on artificial intelligence, and they're also working on developing what's called artificial general intelligence, which we spoke about before on your radio show several times. But specifically what's happening is that artificial intelligence is becoming stronger, and as it becomes stronger, it's actually taking more control of our lives. There's good and bad to it. It's like any tool, right? So this tool, the artificial intelligence, what happens is there's good things that's coming out of it, but then there's also bad things that are coming out of it. Examples that we've talked about is with videos and fake text and stuff such as that. And there's many others that we've talked about. So the purpose here and bringing your audience up to speed is to say there have been many predictions that have been made either on your radio show or in the book that was published last year. And already what we're seeing is we're seeing about two dozen of those predictions that were made have already come, as you said, Parker, into fruition. So hopefully this will give people a little bit of background, and it's just really to help people to be aware. And then once you're aware, then you can start protecting yourself.
That, I think, is the ultimate goal, is to protect yourself, because artificial intelligence just in general is very intrusive and invasive already. We've come to rely on it in many different ways, and there's nothing wrong with that reliance. But what happens is when your privacy becomes up for public consumption, companies take your information and use that information either to make more money off of you, to take your private or your DNA or your biological information for their own purposes. And I think that's a very important, but also they use it to control you. And we talked about that last time on the broadcast about what's going on in China, because China is now turning into what we would term a police state, where they're going to make you a law-abiding citizen whether you like it or not. For example, they have something called social credit score in China, and social credit score is basically how you score on a social scale. So let's say you sit down on the bus and you don't let the old lady with the handbasket sit down. That social score can be recorded in some fashion. I think you were talking about it last week, RD, so
yes.
Some fashion. Then that affects other things. It's a way to punish or reward you. So basically it's forcing you to comply. And I was also told recently that they have a lot of cameras out there capturing your information in China particularly, and capturing you, putting you on there, so you're always under someone's microscope or you're always on the camera. And this is not just happening in China. It's also happening here in the U.S. It may not be a governmental thing like it is in China, but U.S. companies use social media and use that to see, they want to employ you, to see how do you act when you're outside of the workplace, all these other kind of things. And so this is why we want you to be aware of these predictions that are coming to fruition, so you can be informed and can protect yourself. One of the things that we talked about last week that I found very interesting was about the crime prediction and what this means for people who are of a certain ethnicity or a certain cultural background. You know, right now, as a lot of people are aware of the racial tensions that are very high right now in the U.S., and we're aware of that. And can you imagine having artificial intelligence tell you, oh, most of the crime is going to happen here in this black neighborhood? Mind you, it may not happen, but because of all these various things that are fed into that particular program, the police are going to go here and hopefully prevent a crime from happening, but we don't know if it will happen because it hasn't happened yet. It's like that movie, Minority Report. So lots of good, interesting things that you need to be aware of are falling under this. And then we also talk about the spiritual element of why this is important, particularly for Christians. So I hope you are joining in the conversation. Now, I've already introduced RD several times, so if you missed who he was, his background, just go ahead and listen to the other shows, because he talks about it a lot, because each time he reveals more and more of himself, which lets you know that there's a lot of people that isn't the same like AI. AI is pretty straightforward, but people are diamonds, very multifaceted. And the more you know about them, the less you actually do know, which is quite fascinating to me. But anyway, and so let's go ahead and just delve right into our predictions, RD. The next thing I want to talk about is how artificial intelligence will monitor people's health. Tell us what's that all about.
Yeah, so there's good to this, and there's also some strange things that come out of it. So the good, so this was predicted again, you know, last year, but the good is that in July of this year, it was published in a scientific journal that what's happened is that both scientists and medical doctors, that they've done studies, and they have shown scientifically proven that AI performs doctors in cancer screenings and disease diagnosis. Now, I'm not just going to paint a broad brush to say everything, but specifically on the cancer screening and disease diagnosis, we find that AI is outperforming doctors. And so what's happening is that, and that was published again on July the 9th. So what's happening is that we're seeing to where doctors are more relying more upon AI. And I think that we're also going to see to where when patients go in, like, for example, if there's, you know, cancer that's in the family, something such as that, the person will ask the doctor, say, have you done an AI analysis? So I think that that's going to even become more common. And it's interesting that what's happening is that, and I read a full story about this, they're actually training the AIs, and it's this full team off over in India that's taking a look at, you know, different I'll call them cancer cells and stuff such as that. And so one of the things that we talked about previously was the differences between the human brain and AI. So where AI accelerates is in speed. So imagine that with all these, I'll call them millions of scans that are done with cancers and cancer cells, AI can look at that. And, it, you know, whereas a doctor can't, they don't have time. They've got to see patients and stuff such as that. So AI is able to do those predictions more effectively, if you will. Also, the strange thing that's coming out of it is that AI is beginning to control our behavior in this area of health. And so this isn't so much AI. This is more of a program, but I'm going to use this as an example. So my wife, you know, she wants, which is a good thing, she wants to be fit. So she does walking and stuff such as that. And it was a while back that I gave her a Fitbit. So she wears that on her wrist. And one of the things that happens, and I've seen this many times because she wears it every day, is that she doesn't get in 10,000 steps. And when mm-hmm. she's short of 10,000 steps, the Fitbit buzzes her. And so she says, oh, I need to do my steps. And so I just asked this simple question, you know, because, you know, me, I'm a simple type of guy, and I don't know. I said, well, what does the 10,000 steps mean, you know? And mm-hmm. she didn't know. She just knew that the program that mm-hmm. told her that she needed to do 10,000 steps. So like I usually do, I did some research. I said, well, what does that mean? And sure enough, I come to find out after I did research that it doesn't mean anything. Just somebody, when they put the program together, they said, well, this is a good goal, that 10,000 steps. It doesn't mean that you're stronger as compared to maybe if you did running for 5,000 steps. It just says you've done 10,000 steps. But now people mm-hmm. are being programmed, such as my wife, saying, mm-hmm. hey, you haven't done your steps yet.
Yeah. Mind you, it's for a good cause. You want to get people more ambulatory, and we get understand that. But you kind of came to the root of it. Someone just put in a number, and so now we just believe it. Got to get your 10,000 steps in, and you go, whoop, why? And they're like, oh, you know, I don't know. It's just good, you know. But it does. But it's not a bad thing, I wouldn't say. I've seen people at my job. They have these competitions where they're all trying to work to get the 10,000 steps in, or there's like prizes if you get the most steps in a month, things of that nature. And so, of course, I said, why don't you just put it around your dog and have your dog run around and get the steps. But no one likes that idea, apparently. But, yeah. So, you know, that's good. Sure.
Just a couple other things on that. As we've, in addition to AI doing good things such as being cancer diagnosis, disease diagnosis, cancer screening, disease. Specifically, we've already seen that AI through robots are doing surgery. I don't know if your audience is aware of that, but they've already done surgery. And on the dentistry side, they've already done teeth fillings. Now, that teeth filling, the one that I've read, was done in China, which is kind of interesting because, again, China, don't consider them a backward country. You know, they're developing AI quite a bit. And so what's happening is that AI – well, let me back up for just a moment. What's happening is that we have a shortage of doctors. And because of a shortage of doctors, one of the things that is occurring is that people are going actually into a program onto your computer. And it's kind of like instead of you going to the doctor to see the doctor and say, hey, you know, I've got a fever and stuff such as that – it's getting to where now it's a program that's going to be analyzing you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I
yeah.
just think it's fascinating the way that we're heading. And we're heading to the point to where as AI becomes stronger, that people are saying, well, should I really see the doctor or should I just go straight to the AI?
mm-hmm. And there's nothing again, in the scheme of things, there's nothing wrong with that. It's kind of like when WebMD came out, you know, about, a while ago, and people were going to WebMD like, okay, I have this symptom, this symptom, this symptom, oh, I must be okay. So you start to self-diagnose yourself. And then you're like,
right.
That's okay. Some of us have, you know, all kind of diseases, while none of us have anything. And so, yeah, it's very interesting how we've becoming more and more reliant on it. But I always figure that people are better at dealing with various scenarios better than AI will, because even though AI has faster, it can't adapt, I don't think, as well as we can. But we'll find out. We'll find out, particularly when it comes to artificial general intelligence, that sci-fi thing that's becoming more and more sci-fi fact. So another thing we want to talk about is how artificial intelligence sees and identifies predictions. And I think this is important because we were just talking about it a moment ago about the facial recognition, pattern recognition, and things of that nature. Because like in China, if they're scanning your face all the time, they're watching you everywhere you go. If you're going to someone's house, going to the store, you're going to the park, watching you, seeing what you're doing. And I find this quite, you know, horrifying because I like my privacy. I don't want to think I have to be on camera for everybody, you know. So tell us a little bit about that and what that means for us.
So a couple things. So we have cameras now that and this is, you know, not a single shot, this is video cameras, that they're attached to AI. And as people are walking in a crowd, that AI can follow, I don't know what the number is, let's say 100 people. But what happens mm-hmm. is it scans those 100 people, which, you know, a human couldn't do that. But it scans and immediately identifies all those 100 people and is targeting, if you will, targeting mm-hmm. them to determine where they're going. In China, and specifically, you know, you mentioned that a little bit earlier, whenever you get, as of, what was it, October the 1st of this year, whenever you get a new cell phone or a new cell phone number, you're required to have a facial scan. So off over in China, once you get the facial scan, then imagine that you're going to the grocery store because cameras are everywhere, like similar to the United Kingdom, cameras are everywhere. So mm-hmm. they're tracking everything that you're doing. And going back to what you previously said, that there's a social credit score. And if you do something wrong, if you jaywalk, let's say, across the street, then maybe you're going to have to pay a higher toll to get on the subway. You know, things such as that. They literally punish you, and it's a way for the government to control you. And exactly mm-hmm. as you said, we've got private companies here in the United States that are actually doing the same thing. They're capturing the data, you know, and the sad thing about it is that if you know anything about data, there's a lot of breakage into that data. So you've got, we'll call them hackers, right? So they're hacking mm-hmm. the information. So I'll give you an example. It was, and I can't, you may, Parker, remember the name, but there was mm-hmm. a Chinese company. I'm pretty sure it was Chinese. They created this app, and with the app, what it would do is it would make you look older. So, for example, if you were yeah. a teenager, and I don't remember the app's name, but if you were a teenager, it would show you when you were 40 years old or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a free app. So what was happening?
It was Russian. It was a Russian photo app. It was a Russian photo app.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what was happening is everybody said, hey, look at this. It's cool. Well, don't you realize now that you've given your face off over to Russians with intelligence? I mean, come on. You know, so that's exactly what's happening. And again, you know, because of the fact that it was free, and because of the fact that it was easy, and then people started making it viral, and again, we talked about, you know, the problems with things that are going viral, then what had happened is now all these scans are going off over to somebody, and who knows what they're doing with it,
mm-hmm.
especially when we consider – we talked about previously about deep fakes and where you could fake people's, you know, fake them to where they say anything.
I remember it happened, I would almost say 2 months ago, R&D. It's called the Face App. And there was this big story that went across the headlines. They said, oh, the Russian photo app that makes you look older is taking your data, basically, right? It basically
yeah.
said that. And so one
yeah.
guy, well, I won't say what he said because it's not appropriate for air, but one guy basically said, well, they got pictures. That's all he said. I'll leave it right there. So what happened, you know, they take this information. Now they have a scan, and it's kept. One thing about it, the information isn't destroyed, it's kept on somebody's server. And if anyone wanted to
right.
use that information, you can't because you've given them that information. Guess what? You don't get paid for it. They can take your information and use it for whatever. And this is why this is so important about what you can do to protect yourself and protect your privacy, protect your interests. Not even, I wouldn't say now it's not even material interests as far as like money. It's just your privacy, your DNA, your identity. One of my sisters currently right now is dealing with identity theft, and it's horrendous, mm-hmm. absolutely horrendous what people will do to be cruel to other people by taking their identity. So it's a horrible thing for you to go through. So just make sure that everything that's cool isn't probably as cool as you think it is, you know. And
right.
so the other thing we want to talk about, too, is that we know that AI is faster, but can it beat the human brain? So go ahead and talk about how AI knowledge beats humans.
Yeah, to me, this is a fascinating area because we've known, you know, for decades about, you know, calculators and you put in, well, I talked about when I used to go to college and I had punch cards, so you'd put in equations and then the computer could calculate the equations certainly faster than humans. But it's only now recently with the advent of artificial intelligence, machine language, and neural nets, which we've talked about before, that artificial intelligence is now able to understand context. And when I talk about context, for example, it's either reading. So, for example, it reads a book and it understands the characters and what the storyline is about, or it's listening and responding, and I'll give you two examples. So the first example is that, and there was actually an $800,000 award for this, that whoever came up with being able to do this, and they did, it was some scientists, machine language scientists in Washington State that were able to do this. And specifically what they did is that they would give AI an eighth grade science test. Now, on the science test, you know, it's got biology, and so it's got different types of questions, and, you know, such as that. You know, it's all science. So it's not just doing a calculation. It has to interpret what the question is and come up with the right answer. So on September the 4th of this year, it passed the eighth grade science test with a 90%, and it also did an 80% pass rate on the 12th grade science test. And I'll add to that, so the other example is that we had a world-renowned debater. So it's a person that gets up and, you know, they debate a certain topic. And he was actually from Oxford, so very highly educated. And so he went up against IBM's project debater. And that project debater is artificial intelligence. So they chose a topic, and with that, so the project debater would say one thing, and then the Oxford graduate would say, try to do a rebuttal, and we go back and forth, and you listen to this, and you say, my word, how is that even possible? So the IBM project debater is listening and is doing an expert rebuttal. Then the IBM debater says, well, you know, this, and the advantage that the IBM project debater had was it was able to go through, I don't know, a million books or whatever it was about the subject. So even though that the Oxford graduate could pivot and stuff such as that, the project debater had solid context of being able to say, this is a fact of why, and this is the reasons for this.
You know, what's interesting about that is I think about this movie that came out on Netflix recently called I Am Mother, and in it, this robot, which is controlled by an AI that you find out later, raises a human, okay? And so she calls the robot Mother. This child, the only thing she's known was Mother. And so what happened, you're not missing a thing, okay? You're not missing a thing, okay? I actually thought the movie started off really great, but like a lot of Netflix movies, they just crash and burn. But anyway, so it starts off with this robot deciding to raise the perfect human. And that is a concept that is strange, if you think about it, because a computer, why would an AI want to raise a perfect human? You see what I'm saying? So
right.
These kind of things, though, even though it's sci-fi, just imagine what that would look like if it was for real, like if we're dealing with this right now. And what these prophecies and predictions that we're talking about are leading the path to artificial general intelligence, which is why some people within the community, particularly as technology and software, are concerned. And if they're concerned, we should be concerned as well. But we're not always privy to that. So that's why we try to give you information so you can make the right decision. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break, and when we come back, we're talking more R.D. Palmer and then some of the non-AI things he predicted in his book, The One, which is available on Amazon.com, to see what has come to fruition. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Listen to our internet radio station at touchofgodradio.org, where you will find out your true identity in Christ. You can use the light that is within you to replace the darkness in this world. Go into all the world today with touchofgodradio.org.
Hi, I'm Sherry with the Lemonade Stand. As the weather warms, your risk of exposure to mosquito and tick-borne illnesses increases. Please keep these tips in mind when outdoors. Wear light-colored clothing, apply repellent, avoid high grassy areas, Check yourself after returning and remove any attached ticks promptly, only with a tick removal device or tweezers, avoiding any home remedies. This has been a community service announcement courtesy of the Lemonade Stand.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. You are listening to our part three of part eight of our Artificial General Intelligence series. We're talking about the artificial intelligence prophecies that have come to fruition. We've been doing this series most of the year, and I'm really excited about this because we are not drinking the Kool-Aid. This is stuff that is happening right now. So I want you to be aware of these things so you can make the right decisions. Go to your lawmakers, protest accordingly so you can ensure that your information, your privacy, is not controlled by anyone else, which is very much important. And RD, thank you again for being with us on the show. And like we always say, we always make the caveat that we are not anti-technology. I don't want anyone to think I'm like, you know, right-wing militia or anything like that. But it's just the fact that we want people to be informed. I mean, no company has the right to take your personal information and make money off of it. No one has the right to do that. But if you're ignorant, and not in a bad way, but if you're ignorant of what's going on, how do you know you're making the right decision? We use that really simple example of the face app, that Russian photo app that everyone was getting on. Oh, my gosh, they're making their faces older. All that time that app was taking your information, did the makers of the app let you know they're taking your information? Probably not. Or if they did, it's in really small print, and all you do is just accept it. All they say is by using this app, you agreed to do X, Y, and Z. And most of us don't even read it because – why would we? We just want to make sure we can look older when we're 20 years old. That's all we want to do. So there's a lot to this that we hope that you're taking with you as you understand this series that we're doing. So let's go ahead and continue our discussion, because before the break, I mentioned that I wanted RD to go into some of the non-AI predictions that were specifically mentioned in the one that looks like they're coming true. So go ahead and start us off with that.
Yeah, the first one that I had that was predicted in the book, and of course that has happened. It's talking about electronic tattoos. And I think it was last week that you had Kathy, if I remember the name correctly, that was talking about RFID. So, and there's been quite a number of people talking about RFID. Now, what we're getting to is the point to where there's a couple things. One is that on August the 14th, what had happened is that a person put in an RFID chip, and now she was able to control her Tesla from her arm. So I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. So people are doing this willingly. The other thing that happened is, and this is, I live in the state of Wisconsin, so in Milwaukee, which is actually east of me. So in Milwaukee, a company encouraged their employees to get RFID chips. So, and the company would pay for the doctor or the nurse, I don't remember which one it was, but anyway, to put the RFID chips in them. And so, it's becoming more and more common in that what's happening is that with the RFID chips, it's controlling things, right? So people are talking about smart homes and smart devices. So what we're getting to is that we want smart people, and the way that we get smart people is we have to insert something into them. So that was it was predicted in the book, and we're already seeing signs of that happen.
What's fascinating is for those of you who are particularly interested in end times prophecy, depending on your view of it, you see where that can go. For those of you who believe about the 666 on the forehead or on the arm, something to think about. I'm not going to say yay or nay, but it's something to think about, you know. And remember, they taught you can't buy or sell unless you have it. So, you know, what do you think this means, you know? It's very interesting because some people are preterists, and I have preterists on my show. Some people are futurists. I have futurists on my show. And so it's very interesting to see how this can be interpreted. So I hope you guys take that with you as well. Let's talk about money. We all need it. We all want it. But what is this thing about the currency prediction that you made in the one, and what does that mean for us today?
Yeah, I predicted that in the future that there really wouldn't be currency as what we know it, that it would all be digital. And that was specifically my thing, that digital. So fast forward to August of this year. So if you're familiar with central banks, so in Each country or most countries, 98-99% of the countries have their own central banks. So in the Bank of England, which is their central bank, the governor of the Bank of England, and this was on August the 23rd of this year, came out and said, what we need is we need a new virtual digital currency, and that virtual digital currency, it needs to be the world's reserve currency. So if you're familiar with those terms, reserve currency, what that means is it's a currency that's floated among countries, and they trade in that currency. And right now, well, since World War II, I should say, and up to today, it's the United States dollar, which is the world's reserve currency. So what this central bank of governor of England is saying is that we need a new currency, and it's not to be the United States currency. It needs to be a digital currency. So a couple things are occurring on that front, and I think that you've seen with the Bank of America and Wells Fargo, for example, and there's others, but I mentioned those two. They're really pushing to remove cash, and the more that you can use a credit card, or we talked previously about RFID chips, right? That's where they want to go. And the reason for that, we had talked about this in that, remember, every time that you get on the internet, every time that you're using credit cards or you're making transactions, they're capturing what's going on. If you're making a transaction with cash, they can't see that, right? So I go and I buy, you know, a package of gum and some other stuff. They don't see that. What they want is they want to see everything. And then with that everything, then, of course, that's how that they make money. So the banks and MasterCard and the credit cards are all pushing to where there's a removal of the cash. Now, you may have seen that Facebook has positioned what's called Libra, L-I-B-R-A, and that's to use digital cash. So I don't know how successful that is, because there's factions, you know, that are against Facebook, and there's some people that are very pro-Facebook, but saying, hey, you know, I'm going to do all my whenever I get paid from my employer, I don't see any cash with that. It goes off over into this digital area, and then whenever I pay for anything, I go back off maybe even to an example that you have with it's Amazon, to where they have these cashless stores. So you go into the grocery store, and when you pick up things, you just put it into your shopping basket. You don't even see a person for the cashier to cash out. You just walk out the door, and it automatically, at the point that you walk out the door, it automatically just debits your account. So that's where we're going. So, that, again, that was predicted, and I mentioned on August the 23rd of this year, we even see where officials, very powerful officials, are saying, hey, this is the direction that we need to go as a country and as a world.
This next one that we're going to discuss is one that really bothers me. It bothers me a lot, because I don't think we can fool around with what God has created. I'm not against progress at all. I never will be. But it's when you start to take perfectly fine monkeys and perfectly fine human beings and put them together, that becomes a problem. They're called chimeras. And this has been going on for quite some time. It's not the first time. It's not the first time in history that we've thought about this. You know, it's been around for a long time. I mean, look at Frankenstein. Look at some of the old sci-fi and some of the old stuff. They've been wanting to do this for a while. You know, put this part together. Here we go. Ta-da! You know, new creature. Yeah. And so in the book, The One, what had you predicted and what has come to fruition now?
Yeah, so in the book, I predicted that there would be Crimea creatures. And specifically these creatures in the book, they were a cross between a human and a dog. And they had the dog's head and then the human's body. And I actually projected that based upon, if you take a look at some Egyptian archaeology and the hieroglyphics that they have, right, where they have the dog and the human body. And so that's what I was thinking. And I thought, well, you know, this is, again, just a futuristic type thing. But we fast forward now to August the 22nd. And Barker, I'm on the same page as you. I consider this the dark science. You know, I'm definitely pro science, but there's things that scientists are doing that I just feel very uncomfortable with. So on August the 22nd, what had happened is that there was an announcement. The announcement was from a bunch of researchers, both from the Spanish side and the U.S. side, a team of them. And what they did is they created the first human monkey Crimea. So specifically what that – and let me just – and I'm not a biologist by any means. I'm, you know, off over on the software side. But specifically what this Crimea means is that they're taking the DNA – so they take DNA from a human, and they'll take the DNA from a monkey in this case, and what they'll do is they'll splice them together. They'll cut parts of that DNA and then put in other parts on the monkey side to where they create, literally, it's a new creature. It's a creature that's never existed before in history, and that's why it's called a Crimea-type creature. So the unfortunate thing is that they, in my perspective, I'll say that they created this, and, you know, you know, heaven knows why they continue to do this, but they're still doing it. And in addition to the Spanish and U.S. teams that are doing this, I've also read that there's Chinese that are doing this, and they're creating Crimea babies. And they're saying, and, you know, again, it just breaks my heart, but then they abort the babies before birth. So it's just, anyway, it was predicted last year, and the reality of it is in 2019 we're seeing it.
You know, Peter Young's husband had an author on his blog that did a huge series about people like this, that they were chimeras, you know, and they were hybrids, you know, animal and human hybrids. And one of the things that came to mind, because, you know, Christians are going to see things a little bit differently, is this thing about the soul. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And
correct.
How that affects it, you know, because humans and monkeys were never meant to be together. You know, when the Lord created everything, he said, let this, after its kind. You know, if God thought that, you know, he thought, you know, a monkey should be a monkey, a human should be a human, a flea a flea, you know, it's a dead flea, but flea a flea, okay? And so if he thought that, then why would we do something against what he thought? You know, because he's much more logical than we are. And when you see this type of thing, it's very dark because it gets into an area that we quite don't understand. And I don't think we could actually handle the fruits of our labors. I really don't think we could. And you may be saying, well, you're just being dramatic because you're a writer. Possibly. But at the same time, you know, what will be the benefit of having these type of creatures? What's the benefit? To see what we can do? Are you playing God? You know, I think that's some of the questions we have to ask ourselves. Instead of saying, look what we can do, look what we can do, I always remember that line in Jurassic Park, should we? Should we do this? Like, does someone say, let's take a quick break for a second? It's like someone jumping off into the Grand Canyon without a net. Should we do that? I mean, it's great that we can jump into the Grand Canyon, but the only thing that's going to end up is a, you know, flat body. It's one of these things we have to think about. So that's the part that really bothers me and disturbs me, you know. And like you said, then they abort it, you know, like, okay, see what, and then we're going to abort it. So you're destroying life too.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like, mind you, you're creating a horrible facsimile of life, and then you're destroying it. And it was another book I read, I think it was called, Blood, Body for Blood, and it was about these cloned humans. You know, and they were cloned because you're supposed to take your body after it got old and raggedy and, you know, put in these new clones and then, you know, you get a new lease on life. However, one of the clones escaped and it was conscious. He said, no, I don't want to be your body. I'm me. You know what I'm saying? So lots of interesting things that go along with bioethics there. My next one, it is probably kind of fun. I won't lie because, again, my Star Trek roots are coming up here. So
yeah.
This next prediction, you talk about space, the final frontier. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. Yeah, so space, I'm very fond of Star Trek myself, so space has always fascinated me. And so what I saw or what I wanted to write about in the future with this artificial intelligent being is that it was also bound to space. And if you think about it, you know, with as big and vast as space is, you know, about how great and marvelous God is to be able to create all of this. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. So in 2018, what I wrote is that there would be a team of people, and what they would do is, and I know it sounds kind of strange, but it was, you know, science fiction, and now apparently science fact, but anyway, that they would battle this artificial intelligence, and part of that battle, they would have to go into space. And I said, well, you know, what kind of people would be doing that? You know, it can't be astronauts. They have to be some kind of warriors. So I called them the Space Corps. And there was discussion back in 2018 talking about a space force, and I said, you know, that whatever. And I put in Space Corps anyway into the book. So now we fast forward to June 13th of this year, and now for the first time, Congress creates the Space Corps. And I said, well, that's kind of interesting. They didn't want the Space Force, so I guess they read my book. I'm saying that facetiously. And they said, well, let's create the Space Corps. So that, and it's a military force in space.
Oh, my gosh. I love that. You know, and see, that kind of stuff is kind of cool. I won't lie. I mean, some of the stuff, you can't completely throw it out, because some of the stuff is just absolutely fascinating as we probe our existence and the whole universe around us. It's fascinating. You know, as we find diseases and heal ourselves and become more and more aware of our bodies, it's a wonderful thing to have that, you know. But then we do have to be conscientious of the repercussions of certain things if we are not careful enough to do that. So I'm really excited about this and what we can do with it. Now, the next thing is, of course, Star Wars. So we said Star Trek, now we go Star Wars. So let's talk about the Star Wars affiliate there.
The Star Wars affiliate? Help me with your question.
Yeah, you know, the hand... Yeah, I'm sorry.
The handheld weapons?
This.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what, I'm saying. Star Wars because... That's what I do.
No. So in the book, there's a battle, and the key to, and I think I mentioned this before, there's artificial intelligence and there's artificial general intelligence. So we have artificial intelligence today, 2019, that spans the entire globe, right? So it's listening, it's capturing information and stuff such as that. But artificial general intelligence, as I previously discussed, it goes across all domains, so it understands. It's not as powerful as God, but it's omnipresent. It's present everywhere, and it's all-knowing. Well, all-knowing in the sense of human knowledge, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I had to have in the book to where there was some way to where you could attack this artificial intelligence that could be everywhere at the same time. And
right.
It would use minions. In this case, the minions would be robots in addition to Crimea creatures, which we talked about previously. And I said, well,
right.
You know, how can you attack them? Because what I had on today's technology, is you have from Boston Dynamics, which is it's a company in Boston, Massachusetts. What they do is they create these robots, and these robots can walk autonomously. And they can actually do flips like a human could do a flip and run and stuff such as that. And I'm saying, okay, well, in the near future, you know, if you're going to have guns and you're trying to shoot them, you know, that's not going to work too well. And so my thought was, how can you destroy, and you're not going to use your bare hands and start punching them, because that's not going to work either. And so I said, well, how could you defeat them? I said, well, how could you defeat them? And so that led me to, I said, well, you know, there's on the robot side, they're made of, again, chips, and they're computer things. So even though that they've got, let's say, a breastplate that's covering for their protection, the inside where we've got hearts and lungs and kidneys and stuff such as that, on their inside, it's these computer chips. So I said, well, you know, a way to battle them then would be to have a handheld sonic weapon, which did not exist when I wrote the book. So we had sonic weapons, which you may have seen. They're called LRADs. They're placed upon top of large vehicles, and they use sound waves to control either on the military side, or sometimes they'll bring them in on the civilian side to control crowds. But we fast forward to September the 20th of this year, and then China announced that they've now had the first handheld sonic gun that now that they can use to control people. I said, okay, well, there we go again. So now we've got it to where you can put it in your hands and you can shoot instead of being a bullet. Now it's sound waves, which can, you know, be very painful to you.
I like how you said here on your Twitter, you said it's hard to write science fiction when the advances of science are happening so quickly. So
yeah.
You kind of go like, you got to keep up. If you don't keep up, you'll be left behind. Like, oh, I developed this in my story. But they're already doing it for real. You know, then it's, oh, you know, one of those moments.
And specifically on that one, so what was happening? And to me, and you know, I really honestly try to look at both sides of things. So on that one where I put on Twitter, there's this doctor, and you know, he's, you know, heaven help him, but you know, he's totally, his body's totally degenerated, right? And so what he's doing now because of science is he's merging himself into a cyborg. And it was announced on October the 10th, so it was 2 days ago, that he'll be the first cyborg ever. And, I, you know, I guess that there'll be other cyborgs following him because, you know, there's peoples that have abnormalities. And I just think, well, what kind of a world are we getting into? And I don't take this wrong because I'm not the type of person, I'm not a nihilist and I don't believe in suicide. But, you know, isn't there a reason for death? And it seems like that we've got some people that are wanting to escape death. And again, I'm trying to understand and be sensitive to both sides, you know, as I read this doctor's, his state of body condition and stuff such as that. But, you know, from my standpoint, and, you know, I'll be very brief on my soapbox, but I want to be with God in heaven, you know.
Amen.
Point, you know,
Amen.
I want to be with God. I don't want to, I you know, and again, I hope your audience doesn't take this too negatively, but I consider the world that I live in a fallen world. I mean, everywhere I look, whether it be death, pain, suffering, war, cheating, I mean, all this other stuff, I see it all around me. And I'll try to do my best, you know, to encourage people or to wake people up and talk about Jesus Christ, but the world is fallen. And, you know, when I get into heaven, I'll be happy. So.
That's the thing. You know, he said he's going to give us new bodies and that won't ever get sick again. We won't experience death. We'll be able to live in his presence because right now, no matter how advanced we get, we cannot stand before a holy God drenched in sin without the blood of Christ. We cannot stand before a holy God dishonest. We cannot stand before a holy God no matter how advanced we get. Even if I were to say we take our conscious bodies, we take our brain, and we put them in some kind of robot that can go into space into the deepest part, we cannot stand before a holy God drenched in sin without the blood of Christ. And even then, he's got to give us new bodies because God is so holy, so pure that we have no comprehension of what it's like. Why do you think he sent his son? Because no matter what we do, we can never get close to God. And people, though they don't want to hear it, that has nothing to do with AGI, but it does. It really does. Let's talk about that really quickly. I think you're ready to end our show about these Christian values and how it all intertwines with seemingly something that has nothing to do with it, RD.
Yeah, on the Christian value side, remember virtues. Remember that you've got faith and self-sacrifice, perseverance, patience, forgiveness, and, of course, there are many others, right? You can read in Corinthians, for example. And what we need to, I believe, as Christians, is to exhibit those Christian values. And what we need to do is to encourage it not only within our family, specifically family members, but even those people that are govern us. And I fear that so much of what is being done on the artificial intelligence, they don't care about our Christian values. You know, again, it's part of the world that we live in. And so what I say is I say that we need to be wise. Like, for example, I was reading in it was history, and it was helping me understand some things about philosophy, which I'm not a philosopher at all, but it was talking about BCE. And, you know, when I grew up, it was, you know, omno dimno, which is after the death of Christ, and BC before Christ, right? And now it's all about this BCE or, you know, the CE. And so I'm saying, whose values are we? You know, it's just this whole change. It's a change of language, which actually goes back to George Orwell's 1984. So you change language, and as you're doing that, then what's happening is you're adopting other people's values. The world that we live in, and it's very unfortunate, is that there's fake everything. whether it be text, speech, video, and stuff such as that. And I just encourage everybody just to be cautious. Don't make a fool of yourself and protect yourself and your identity, okay? And
yeah.
The other thing about being wise is that on the AI, there's discussion, there's debate on AGI specifically of will, thousands of scientists are working on this. Will it be conscious or will it not be conscious? And, you know, the end result is it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, in my book, it became conscious. But the reality of it is it doesn't matter. And the reason why it doesn't matter is because they're instilling, this is where I say we as Christians need to step up and do some type of influence, but they're instilling world values and not Christian values. So if that entity, the AGI entity, is not conscious, it will have the world's values. If it is conscious, it will still have the world's values because that's the way that it's bringing it up. So...
it's very important, though. It's very important.
Yes. Yeah. So a couple things, and there's a person that I follow. I love to listen to him. He's very intelligent. He's an MIT physicist, cosmologist from MIT, Max Tegmark. And anyway, so he one of the things that he said is the real risk with artificial general intelligence is not malice, but competence. So think about what he's saying. That's our real risk. That it's going to become so competent that it's going to look at us as ants. Mm-hmm. And he also said, the super intelligent AI, which is artificial general intelligence, will be extremely good at accomplishing its goals. And if these goals aren't aligned with ours, we're in trouble. So yes. I've been saying, I said this last year, certainly when I published the book, and I've been saying it. Thank you so much, Parker, for having me on the show. And that is that there's people that are a lot smarter than me. I feel like I'm the only one on the Christian side that's yelling into the wind. But there's a lot of people that are smarter than me that are saying, hey, we need to be cautious about this. And the problem of it is we're not cautious. And a big reason why we're not cautious is because, one, because of money, and two, because of the fact that people aren't aware of what's going on. So thank you so much, Parker, for, even having me on this show so that I hope to get this message out.
It's a message that needs to be received, because I like what he said, because which makes it interesting is that AI, artificial general intelligence, wouldn't have an emotion to subjugate us. It's like you said, it's just competence. Like, okay, these people don't know what they're doing. Let's just get rid of it. And
correct.
Some people would say, well, that's just a Western view of AI, because sometimes the Eastern view is a little bit more benevolent, depending on who you're talking to. But at the same time, there's a certain fact to that, because we program it to be efficient. We're programming it to be efficient. We're programming it so we can do things. We're programming it. We understand our own limitations, and so we rely on artificial intelligence to help us. But then if an artificial intelligence realizes that we're the weak link, not it, then what does it come down to? So that's why it's so very, very important. And so what I want to do in the few moments we have left is kind of wrap up this part of our series here about the prophecies that we've talked about today. Let's kind of wrap it up.
So, again, I just thank you so much for having me on the call with you and your audience, and really this whole series that we've been doing. And I just want to encourage the full body of Christ just to have open eyes about what the technology is, be sensitive to where – as you're coming across different articles to say, hey, how is that affecting us as Christians? And instead of me being the only person, it seems like anyway, the only person that's crying in the wilderness, we can have other voices that are shouting, and they're shouting specifically for Christian principles, Christian virtues that should be incorporated. I'm full 100% for technology. I believe that technology will help us, but there's a dark side to technology. Part of it is because of the fact that what we have is there's dark people, and they'll take the technology that could be used for good, and they'll use it for bad, and that's what we have today. And as artificial intelligence grows in strength, that's even going to be more powerful. It's going to be so powerful that So the chief executive officer of Google, who obviously knows quite a bit about artificial intelligence, he testified in Congress in January of this year, and his testimony said that artificial general intelligence, once it's developed, will be more powerful, more it will affect more people than electricity or fire. So think about that for just a moment of what he said. It's going to be, I mean, you know, we're living to where I flip on a switch and I expect that the light goes on and I turn on the computer and look at all the things that electricity does, or look at all the things that the fire helps to warm or to cook. And artificial general intelligence is going to be that much more powerful. So it's going to sweep us, and it's going to sweep us quickly. So I just encourage the full body of Christ just to be cognizant, to be prayerful about this, and to protect your data. An example of protecting your data is off over in Europe, they actually have laws that protect your data. So when you're doing transactions online, that your data is protected. Here in the United States, we don't. So it's just, you know, it's even simple things like that, just to be aware.
You know, RD, thank you again. And I know you're not alone. You can't be alone. I'm sure someone else sees it, but they're probably, you know, quite probably more reticent to mention things because of other factors involved. But you can't be alone, because I think this show will reach those who really need to understand just the threat of this. But like you said, the reason why is because there are dark people. And it all comes back to sin. It all comes back to our sinful nature. It all comes back to a fallen world. It all comes back to that. And you can't get around it. I know some people think that with the advancement of artificial intelligence, we can finally get rid of God. But you can't, because at the end of the day, when all of our inventions and accomplishments are paraded before us, we still have questions of purpose. We still have questions of why. We still have pain. We still have sickness. We still have all kinds of things. Do you think that if a guy becomes a cyborg, he's not going to have questions about life? Do you think he's not going to be hurt? Do you think if someone puts their head into a robot, becomes a robot, you think they're not going to have questions? You think they're not going to have pain? Because we live in a fallen world, guess what? These things are always going to be here. And the only one who can answer that is not going to answer that digitally. He's going to answer that spiritually, because he created our souls, and that's Jesus Christ. So I want you to take that all with you. And RD, once again, thank you for being with us today. And I can't wait to have you back, and have you back real soon.
Thank you, Parker.
And for those of you, you want to know more about RD's book, The One, make sure you go ahead and pick up a copy of that today on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Visit his website, rdpalmerbooks.com. And guess what? Book 2 is coming out soon. So make sure you go ahead. Not book 2, I think book 3 is coming out very soon. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day. And God bless.